Welcome back to Second and Short. It is Monday, December 30th, 2024, the penultimate day of the year. Last time we started off penultimate week in NFL. What are you doing over here? It's NFL week 17. It's about to wrap up. Me and Colin are losing our minds because we're 20 minutes away or 40 minutes away from potentially the biggest game in recent Falcons history. And this guy's repping the enemy. He's literally repping an active player on this team.
Reverse psychology.
I guess. I've got Jaden Daniels in the Fantasy Football Championship, but I've also got Drake London. So maybe I'm doing a little bit of reverse psychology. I've also got a bet that involves Terry McLaurin on the line. So
I have a bet that involves almost every starting offensive player on both teams.
Look at that. In the MLB, the top two remaining free agents in my eyes are now off the board. So it definitely trickles down a little bit lower now. So more guys finding their homes. Obviously, the two that I'm talking about, Corbin Burns and Teoscar Hernandez, both found a home. Bowl season brought us a lot of great moments. Obviously, the games don't matter. We all know that. But it's been close games. It's been excitement. Got some records being broken. Got some refs being broken. All sorts of stuff. We got the college football playoff quarterfinals Tuesday and Wednesday. We got one game New Year's Eve Tuesday. We got three games all day on Wednesday. We've got games. Where, it's going to be a damn good time.
Where will you be at on Wednesday, Grayson?
I don't care where I'm at as long as my ass is parked on a couch in front of a TV.
We have a comfy couch.
Look
and
at that.
And a big-ass TV.
Look at that. I wonder where I'll be. Before we get into anything, RIP to Jimmy Carter.
Mm.
Is he the GOAT Georgian of all time?
Gotta be.
GOAT Georgian of all time. Sounds so stupid. But
gotta
yes.
be.
Is he the Georgian of all time?
He's in the Georgia Hall of Fame.
Only,
for sure.
Only president from Georgia.
First ballot Georgia
yeah.
Hall of Fame.
Came right back to Georgia after his presidency and has resided here until his death today. Hmm. I feel like it's got to be Jimmy Carter. No, Kanye claims Chicago. He was born in Atlanta, but he claims Chicago. Ray Charles is up there. Ray Charles is up there.
I don't think anybody can beat Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's beaten Jimmy Carter. Hulk Hogan's from Florida. Lived in Tampa. I know it. I don't know if we should say this story. Hulk Hogan owes our grandmother $20.
Wait, what?
For some drapery that she did for his tour bus.
Like,
yes. Alan Jackson's up there. Alan Jackson. And so is Chris Tucker. But Alan Jackson's certainly up there. We're not going to do our Georgian Mount Rushmore. That might be a summer activity on this podcast.
That's for a live stream.
Yeah, Nathan, take a note of that one. Georgian Mount Rushmore. But for now, we've got NFL Week 17 this week. We got the MLB offseason to talk about, college football playoff quarterfinals, bowl season to talk about. And before we get into any of that, you got to make sure you're subscribed here on YouTube. You turn on those post notifications because we've got a video coming out tomorrow as you guys listen. This will be like midday on Tuesday, final college football show of the year, the college football playoff special. I'm going to be talking about my thoughts on the first round. Jackie Robinson has been added to the conversation. I'm going to be talking about my top, kind of my takeaways from the first round, what maybe needs to change, talk about some, obviously, of the quarterfinal games I'll be previewing. I'll also be talking about my bracket all the way through to the end, and a little bit more full circle recap stuff. I've also decided that once the 12-team playoff is over. As soon as it is over, I'm going to be recording a video with all of my thoughts. What did well, what didn't do well, what needs to change, what I think will change, all that stuff
after.
It'll be its own video, separate.
That's going to be like a five-hour video.
I hope not, but we'll see. Maybe I'll do a couple different parts. I might just have to split it into parts. I don't know. But it won't be on the podcast. I want to keep that one separate. So,
and
with that being said,
moving on.
Make sure you're subscribed here on YouTube. Turn on the post notifications. Give us a like on this video since you're watching. Give us a comment. Let us know which pitcher the Diamondbacks are going to trade off since they signed Corbin Burns.
I already know.
We'll talk about that. if you're on the podcast platforms, rate 5 stars. Give us a follow on there. Colin is extremely excited for the NFL, but I have one more thing to say. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. Stay up to date with all of our socials and join the Second and Short subreddit. r/2nd8ndshort. Colin,
I'm crashing out right now.
Are you ready for NFL week 17? Okay, we're starting on Thursday night. We already recapped the Christmas games. If you want to hear our recap of it, me and Luke covered it on Friday's episode.
Fuck those games, bro.
Go back and listen to them. Yeah, they were fine.
Yeah, I didn't watch a single one.
Whole lot better than Thursday night football.
What?
Seahawks 6, Bears 3. My first note, abolish Thursday night football. Literally get rid of this.
Take it off Amazon Prime.
If you haven't seen the clip of John Gruden talking about why Thursday night football is the worst, please go watch. He said it while he was on Pardon My Take a couple weeks ago, and he's so right. Teams shouldn't have to do this short week. It just should not have to happen. It's always non-entertaining football because they're on short rest and they don't get to game plan all week and all this stuff. It makes no sense to play Thursday night football. As much as we appreciate the fact that we get a football game in the middle of the week or at the end of the week, I'd rather just have another game at 4 o'clock on Sunday.
That or just keep two Monday nights.
Yeah, two Monday nights is great as well. But Thursday night does not make sense to me unless the two teams are coming off byes.
Yeah.
It's the only way it would make sense. And this is what we got.
And never put this matchup together ever again.
Yeah. A Seahawks team that is just, I don't even know. They're inconsistent as it comes.
They snuck their way into an above 500 record.
Yeah.
Best way I can put it. Because if you actually watch this team play, they are so bad.
Yes.
And
they are. And their defense sucks. And that's why it's insane that they held the Bears to
their
3
defense
points.
Is broken.
Yeah. And then the Bears, their defense is great. Their offense is so bad. They give up 7 sacks in this game. Caleb was pretty horrendous, in my opinion. DeAndre Swift can't do anything against a good defense. We've already talked about that multiple times.
And this wasn't even.
It's not even that good of a
100%
defense. It's like a
defense.
Competent defense. This whole game sucked. Is there even anything worth talking about? Torrey Taylor, good job punting.
Both punters.
Both punters.
Michael Dixon had
Leonard Williams had 2 sacks. Good game for him.
Michael, whatever. Is it Dixon? Michael Dixon, is that his name?
The Seahawks punter.
Yeah, 13 points on my bench. Awesome. Good job.
Torrey Taylor, I'm going up against him in the championship game.
16.
He had 5 punts within 20. Crazy work.
We'll throw it back. Remember when Caleb told him he's not going to be punting much?
Yeah, Caleb is the... Caleb better give him his rookie paycheck. Like... His paychecks need to go to Torrey Taylor.
Also, I saw a video about what Caleb Williams gave him.
In punts in the league.
What he gave his offensive lineman, and I hope it was a joke.
It was a joke. It was definitely a joke.
Nathan says it wasn't.
What? What did he give him?
A trip to his nail tech. Like a free...
There is no way. Yeah, no, that's definitely fake. I kept seeing jokes about like... Wait, what is this? Oh, wrong answers only. I think it's all just Joe. I don't think he's actually giving him any gifts. But he probably did. It's just not a public thing.
Did you see Lamar gave all of them guns?
Really?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Got them awesome. All. No, because he gave them all guns like for what's like people use on safaris to kill Bengals.
Oh, wow.
Throwing digs at Joe Burrow.
Wow. Did not know about that. Okay.
She was wild.
Let's keep it rolling here. This game sucked. Yeah, Joe Burrow gave them swords. And did you hear the whole story about that? His assistant.
Thought we said we were
I
just
know, we're moving
going.
On. Joe Burrow's assistant, I guess, is related to. Who is it?
Bruce Lee.
Sylvester Stallone. Oh. And they were like swords from one of his movies.
Oh, that shit's fire.
Yeah, pretty cool. Okay, Saturday's games. We had a full slate of Saturday games. Chargers 40, Patriots 7 was the first game of the day. Patriots needed to lose this game. Chargers needed a win. And the Chargers showed up. Like, all out showed up. Ladd McConkey. Absolute dog. I keep seeing all these posts. If his name was Ladarius McLeod, he'd be in the top 10 wide receiver conversation.
I told Nathan, for no reason, he just reminds me of Julian Edelman.
He's a white slot receiver.
Short. Just always open over the middle of the field.
Yeah.
But also can just sneak by
your
secondary.
He's an incredible route runner.
He's gross.
He's great. He's up there.
Do you see his route when he was in the end zone?
Yeah.
Broke like two safeties.
Yeah. No, he's insane. And like the fact that like the Chargers didn't even really run the ball very well. Gus Edwards was out. J.K. Dobbins was a late add to the game. He ended up running the ball pretty well by the end of it. But like it was not the primary way that they're attacking the Patriots, who have been pretty bad against the run this year. But Chargers looked fantastic, and now they're going to be heading to the playoffs.
Derwin James looked like his former self. Let me say that.
Yeah.
That man was everywhere.
Yeah, and Drake May got banged up all game. So, like, I can't even blame the Patriots for not playing well.
I didn't watch the game. I just saw the clip of the hit. Was that not a dirty hit?
Oh, it was. It was definitely late. My problem was...
Were they
was
not
that,
both out of bounds?
That's what I'm saying. Both of them were out of bounds. Now, I get Drake May was a runner in that position.
The defender was running from out
that's
of bounds.
That's what I'm saying. He got pushed out of bounds, and literally, they met each other on the white. Like, that's not
I'm just
how
like,
it could work. I agree. But, like I don't remember who the rules analyst or whatever was that they brought in, but, like, the guys just said, like, just remember he's a runner. But I'm like, oh, like, what am I missing
doesn't
here?
Matter if you're not in the field of play.
Yeah, that's what I
And also, get. You guys put an emphasis on protecting your quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If that was Patrick Mahomes, the dude would have been cut from the NFL.
Yeah.
The rules analyst said that it was because he made a running move inbounds.
Sure. I get that.
Because when he stepped in the white with one foot, he didn't even know he had stepped out of bounds because he then spin moves back inside. And so they said that because he kept going inside and that the other guy also just kept going thinking that he was still in.
My problem is the defender was like almost past the white.
He was so far.
He was almost at the bench. Like, and he did get blocked out of bounds. I get that part, but whatever.
From the clip, you could think that he was coming from the sideline to make the tackle.
Ramondre Stevenson started this game. He was in on the first play of the game and got benched.
Yeah, it's just so bad.
Antonio Gibson had a decent day. 12 carries, 63 yards.
Anything you took his rushing yards, right?
But... Damn, yeah, Ramondre was just a bad beat right there.
I think I remember
anybody
that.
Anybody that would have taken his line. like, Drake May got hurt, so like I don't really want to knock him for this performance. Herbert was awesome.
Herbert has looked good at the end of the season. Like, he looks insane.
And ever since that Ravens game, that game against the Ravens was huge.
Harbaugh looks like he's settling in quite nice.
Oh, yeah. I think they're a team that is potentially primed for, like, a decent run this year in the playoffs.
Dark horse.
They are definitely my
favorite. Some of those top teams in the AFC are starting to slip.
Yeah. Speaking of the top of the AFC, well, not the top of the AFC, but the AFC playoff picture, the Chargers got to hold on to their spot because of the Bengals in the next game of the day. Broncos 24, Bengals 30 in overtime.
This game was awesome.
I was losing my freaking mind the whole way through this game because I've got Jamar Chase and Chase Brown in fantasy, and I'm in the championship, and I had a parlay with Bo Nix over passing yards. Line was 240. And I was like, it's probably chalked. Like, he doesn't have the numbers. Nah. Well, then he gets a 40-yard passing touchdown at, like, the end of regulation, and all of a sudden he's at 200 yards, and I'm like, we're going to OT. Like, this could actually happen. But at the same time, I'm like, I still need some more points out of Chase Brown and Jamar Chase. Well, when the Bengals got on the field, Chase Brown got hurt on the last play of regulation. So they go to OT, and Chase Brown's not playing. They're playing Khalil Herbert for all of OT. And they're also just not playing, or they're playing Jamar Chase. They're not throwing to Jamar Chase because Riley Moss had maybe the worst game I've ever seen played at corner. Lined up with T. Higgins on, like, probably 85% of snaps. T. Higgins had 11 receptions, 131, 3 touchdowns, and, like, 50 of those receiving yards and one of those touchdowns was in OT. It was actually unbelievable how bad Riley Moss was in this game.
It's just, like, the worst team you could possibly come back after an injury.
Yeah.
And play.
Yeah, yeah. Coming off an injury, this is the offense you do not want to be going up against, especially as a cornerback, too.
Pick your poison. Because,
like,
Higgins, Jamar
Chase played fine. Jamar had really one big play that kind of set the tone. But, like, 15 targets, 9 receptions for Jamar isn't, like, a fantastic day.
First quarter, he held Jamar to 7 receiving yards.
Yeah, here's what Riley Moss said after the game. Sometimes you eat a poop sandwich. I believe that would be a shit sandwich because they edited in poop. And you've got to own it. This isn't the first time that's happened in my career, and it's probably not going to be the last. The great ones are able to come back, be gritty, and push through. Moss was in coverage on T. Higgins for 7 of the receiver's receptions that went for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. Oh. See, that's fucking horrible. That is horrible.
But if you're Denver, who else are you putting on him?
That's fair. Denver's offense confused the hell out of me in this game because you have all the momentum in the second half. You put up 21 points in the second half. You only had 3 points before that, a field goal in the first quarter. You bring it back. You storm back. Bengals get the ball first. You immediately force a punt. You're playing great defense. Yeah, of course, they give up the 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But you were playing pretty good defense throughout this game, considering this is the best offense in the league. And you go in OT. You force a punt. You'd think all the momentum is on their side offensively. And they just fall flat on their face 2 times in a row. They got a second bailout after punting the ball away. Bengals move down the field quickly. They kick on third down with like 2.5 minutes still left on the clock. They kick on third down. Cade York sends it literally to the top of the upright on the left side, and it doinks off. No good. And so the Broncos get another chance, and they go 3 and out again. It just like it was mind-boggling how good their offense was in the second half, and they had zero momentum in overtime.
We were talking about this, I think it was a little later than 2 minutes, because me and Nathan were talking about how Bo Nix just roller coaster of emotions right there. You got to think they're setting up for a field goal to win the game. So you're down in the dumps. You feel like shit.
Yeah.
Misses it. Okay, I have to go lead a game-winning drive.
Exactly.
He's not in the right mindset.
No, I agree. I agree. But that's what the best are able to do.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Give him time. He's outperformed my standards
by a million.
So far.
And like before we started here, we were talking about guys with no talent to throw to.
Who would have thought?
The Broncos have just found guys.
Who would have thought Marvin Mims?
Marvin Mims. Some of the most unbelievable catches I've seen. Like that second touchdown catch at the end of regulation might have been one of the most impressive plays that he'll ever make in his career.
Third straight game over a set. Oh, wow. Over a catch over 50 yards.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. 8 receptions, 103, 2 touchdowns from Marvin Mims. Both of them, I believe, were the touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's unreal. And then Cortland Sutton had the touchdown earlier in the game, but
fuck you,
dude. It was just insane. And like T. Higgins, we talked about his day. Jamar had 9 receptions, 102. Just didn't get a touchdown.
They didn't want to throw to Nate Atkins.
And Gesicki. 12 targets, 10 receptions, 86 yards for him. He was just doing dirty work, getting first down.
Nathan, scroll up a little bit. So it's safe to assume Javonte Williams will no longer be a running back for the Broncos after this year.
Or in the NFL. I think everybody's just kind of
I feel like he could try.
He got 2 targets, 2 receptions, 0 yards. He had a long of 6.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like he deserves another chance on a different team.
I think he gets a shot. He should. He got screwed by that injury.
There's just no way you can tell me Audric Estime is better than Javonte Williams.
I think he's really good, though. And they play very different. They're very different running backs. That's what I will give him.
Javonte Williams gives me more of like a Rashad White vibe.
Yeah, I agree.
Very effective in the receiving game, but can also run the ball.
Yeah, I agree with that. Anything else we need to talk about here?
Touchdown
by Burrow and Higgins.
Zach Allen, 3.5 sacks.
Oh, yeah, 3.5 sacks by Zach Allen's crazy. Jonathan Cooper, 1.5 sacks. DJ Jones had himself half.
Was that 6 what?
Dondre Tillman had a sack.
6 QB hits?
Yeah, 6 QB hits for Zach Allen. That defensive line looked unbelievable.
Joe Burrow hates Zach Allen.
Yeah, 7 sacks in total on Burrow. Mm. Crazy. All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it. Move on. Thank you.
On to Sunday's game. I almost missed another one of the worst games of the week.
Also, wait, before we go, Denver has to beat the Chiefs to make the playoffs.
Denver has to beat the Chiefs in Week 18. All right. Cardinals 9, Rams 13. Yeah. Yeah.
Highlight of this game, Trey McBride scored a touchdown.
Exactly. Trey McBride, and also had a very good game after last week. 12 receptions, 123 targets. And a touchdown on 16 targets. Kyler finally redeeming himself. Marvin Harrison Jr., decent game as well. He had 10 targets, 6 receptions, 96 yards. On the Rams side, it was all Puka. I've been saying, Cooper Kupp literally can't do anything.
Literally just Puka Nacua.
Yeah,
that
it's just
literally
Puka. 10 receptions, 129 for him. What did the running game look like for these two teams? Because early in the day, or like halfway through the day, we get the news, Trey Benson's not playing.
Yeah.
By the, halfway through the first quarter, James Conner's out of the game.
He never should have started in the first place.
Played in the first place. They were both questionable coming into it. Trey Benson is out. And then James Conner gets re-injured immediately in that game. I don't even know if he was necessarily re-injured. I think he just realized, like, oh, this is way worse than it seemed in pregame. So then you're left with Michael Carter, and then, of course, you still have Kyler Murray. But They couldn't really run the ball well, and the same goes for the Rams.
Michael Carter didn't run horrible.
No, Michael Carter didn't have a bad game. It's just they kind of needed to throw the ball when they were down 10-0 at the half.
Yeah.
Kyren had a fine day, 13 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. It's not bad, I guess, to his standards, maybe it is.
It's just
but
not a lot of carries for him. Usually he's like 23, 24.
Yeah, that was the one thing about this game that surprised me a lot is that the Rams weren't trying to run the ball a lot. Obviously, you know, they didn't get like a big lead or anything. 10-0 at the half is great, but the Cardinals came out pretty quickly and scored that touchdown with Trey McBride. So it kind of made the Rams have to stay on their feet, but I thought this game was just meh.
Really bad. I went to sleep after first quarter.
I wasn't really paying attention to it. So
Nathan left me alone in the living room, so I was just like, fuck, I'm going to bed.
Yeah, well, people being in the living room hasn't stopped you from falling asleep. okay, we can move on from this game. There's really nothing.
I was really tired that night.
Oh, I know. All right.
No.
Jets 14, Bills 40. Getting into Sunday's games. Aaron Rodgers is just...
Retire, bro. Just,
it's bad.
You need to stop.
Yes, that is true. No, they did not play down to the Jets level. 12 for 18, two picks.
Also, looks like we have a QB battle for the Buffalo Bills.
Tyrod Taylor had a damn good day.
No, I'm talking about Mitch Trubisky.
I should
be the starter for Buffalo.
You said the Bills. I was just ignoring what you said and saying Tyrod Taylor had a good day. 11 for 14, 83 yards, two touchdowns for Tyrod. Can we give Jordan Travis a shot? Please?
Can he walk?
Yeah, he can walk. Yeah, it'll be fun. Josh Allen, 16 for 27, two touchdowns. Not necessarily a great day for him. Passer rating 104.2. That kind of tells you the story. Mitch Trubisky, one pass, 69-yard touchdown. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's to someone I've never heard of.
Of course. Tyrell Shavers. Yeah. Out of Middle Tennessee State. 6'4", 211. Undrafted free agent. Tyrell Shavers.
First catch of the season.
Yeah. First career catch. 69-yard touchdown. Yeah, I feel like Tyrell Shavers is in line for a hell of an endorsement deal from a razor company.
just go to the Patriots and
Gillette. I think Manscaped is probably more in his realm by popularity standards. I don't know.
I don't know what I've been told.
Okay, Amari Cooper had a touchdown. Keon Coleman had himself a touchdown, and the Bills just put the absolute fucking beats.
Yeah, there's not really much to talk about this game.
No. Garrett Wilson and Tyler Conklin caught touchdowns. Davante Adams, most limited he's probably been this season.
He got the shit rocked out of him.
Yeah? Weird way to put it.
He was on the ground for like 5 minutes.
Damn. All right.
Went to the sideline, sat out one play, and then came back with Tyrod Taylor in the game. I'm like, bud, just stop.
Who's Quentin Morris? That's a good question. And why is it spelled that way? Even better question. Hey, there's something about Bowling Green tight ends, man.
Touchdown.
Yeah, shout out Quentin Morris. He has one touchdown this year on two receptions.
Do you think it's an Aaron Rodgers contract that he can't get benched?
Well, he got benched in the second half.
No, but like to start, like,
oh,
you think he has to start every game?
I don't even think that's like a thing.
I don't think he'll start the last game of the season.
He probably will. Yeah, I'm sure there's some kind of incentive he's trying to hit.
Why not give the young buck a shot?
Well, they're just going to start Tyrod if they don't start Aaron Rodgers. That's a thing. You know how a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure on the podcast, you brought up how Breece Hall was such a bad first-round pick?
Yeah.
And I kind of tried to fight back a little bit? No, you're right.
Yeah, not bad.
The worst. The worst first-round pick.
If you drafted
him,
bro.
I'm not even shitting on Nathan here. Because you did have him.
You just got, like...
He was picked, like, in average, like, sixth overall or something.
You just got the shit in of a stick, like, on the stick, bro.
Yeah, it was tough.
Everybody else was gone. Yeah. You had no one else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everyone else was gone.
Question before we move on to the next game. We saw what Lamar did on Christmas.
Yeah.
Josh Allen had a decent day, nothing crazy. Should Lamar be the favorite for MVP right now? A lot of people saying that Lamar should be. I know Lamar shifted pretty far up in the odds. I don't know what they'll shift to by tonight when they update it. But
more than likely, I feel
I
like
I think it's Lamar. Right
I feel like they're going to give it to Lamar.
Yeah, consecutive. That's the one thing, though. Yeah. They don't love doing consecutive MVPs in the NFL. Doesn't happen often.
Why not start?
I agree. I think right now I've moved more onto Lamar's
side.
But
this might be like the closest MVP race we've had in so long.
I think we kind of brought this up last week, but like easily the best awards race we've had across the board. Mm-hmm. We were just talking before the episode started about comeback player of the year might be a really good race. Offensive rookie of the year. I know, Jaden Daniels, kind of the whole thing's on the line right here because Bo Nix has had a really good year. And then Malik Nabers had a crazy performance that we're going to talk about soon. Brian Thomas Jr.'s had an incredible season. Like, a lot of guys in that race. MVP is amazing. Offensive player of the year is going to be an unbelievable race as well. There's a lot of good awards races right now.
Currently, according to BetMGM, Josh Allen is the favorite at minus 300, Lamar at plus 240.
That's damn close.
Then Joe Burrow has moved into third.
Yeah, Joe Burrow, Jared Goff going to be in the conversation.
Jared Goff has actually fallen to fifth.
Really?
He's just behind
Sorry, but if Joe Burrow had a defense, he would be the favorite to win MVP.
Oh, 100%. You don't put up those kind of numbers.
That man is literally the best quarterback in the NFL right now.
Oh, 100%. 100% he is.
Like, I'm sorry. He is just
He's got the passing yards lead by 400 yards. That's a whole game. Actually, no, 600 yards.
Yo, Nathan, what you clicking on, bro?
It's this pop-up ad that's taking up the whole screen. He's got the passing yards lead by 600 yards.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
It's also very, like...
he's got 42 fucking touchdowns.
Compared to 8 interceptions, which is really good for him.
Not bad for him at all.
Really good for him.
Not bad for him at all. Yeah, it's going to be obnoxious, but...
Look at that with the most interceptions.
Kirk, most interceptions.
Maybe he'll go to the Jets.
Yeah. Bo Nix does throw a sneaky a lot of interceptions because of that one game where he threw 4. That kind of fucked.
I saw a tweet. Are we coming to the end of pocket passing?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah, we're way past pocket passers.
Like, there's just
Jared Goff's the only one.
They're just not going to be relevant.
Pull up passing yards right now. How many of those guys at the top are pocket passers? Stafford and Jared Goff. Geno kind of is.
Sam?
I don't think Darnold's really a pocket pass. He moves around. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because like, it's like, I'm not saying they're like runners.
Yeah, like,
but like Mahomes, Mayfield, Darnold, even Geno and Burrow, for that matter, move around in the pocket a lot.
Yeah.
Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford are the only guys in the top 10 that don't move around a lot in the pocket.
I think a lot of what it is that defensive linemen are getting really good at pushing the offensive line.
They're extremely
back.
Athletic and they're fast.
Yeah, they're getting faster and faster every year.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
like,
bigger and stronger. So they're pushing guys back and putting the pressure and making the quarterback move.
Last week in Eagles Commanders, they kept talking about like if the Eagles keep getting behind Jaden Daniels, he's just going to run. That wasn't a problem for a long time. If the edge rushers got behind the quarterback, the pocket's going to collapse on him. Now, if the edge rusher gets behind the quarterback, well, that just means there's a hole open.
I think a lot of it, too, is that edge rushers aren't, or I guess it's more on the offensive line, they're not keeping them in front.
No.
And they're keeping them around.
Yeah.
It's like there's a circle
back there.
Because
they're so much faster.
Yes, it's like there's a circle back there as a figurative pocket, and they're just keeping that circle protected.
Which is their job.
Yes, but at the same time, you should probably just try to keep them in front.
It's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, of course. I can't do it.
It's going to make drafting certain positions a lot more different.
That's why I don't know why anybody ever questions the reason that offensive tackle or like offensive linemen are like the third most drafted position group in the first round behind like quarterbacks and wide receivers.
Yeah.
Because that is such an essential position.
Yeah.
It really
is. And listen, I don't blame them for holding.
No, it's difficult, man.
I'm sorry, but if I'm lined up with Micah Parsons, I'm holding the shit out of him every fucking time.
Yeah. Defensive rookie of the year is Jared Verse. Wow. That's surprising.
Jared Verse is favorited by a decent margin. He's minus 550. Well, is Quinyon Mitchell at plus 400.
Yeah, he probably makes some.
Then it drops all the way to Chop Robinson.
All right, real quick. We're going to move on as soon as I say this. How right was I about Quinyon Mitchell?
Guantanamo Bay.
Dude, I was high on him the whole time.
I was there too, man.
Yeah, but like I had him over Terry and Arnold by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, but you know the only reason I had Tyrion Arnold up there is because
you're biased.
Last thing real quick on favorite stuff.
Oh, yes. Motherfucker. Hurry.
You had talked about Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix being close. Jaden Daniels is favorited -1,000. Bo Nix is +5,000, yeah. And he's in third behind Brock Bowers.
Jaden's going to win.
He's got it.
I didn't even think about Bowers when I was talking about that, but yeah, it doesn't even feel like he's a rookie. He's that good.
Couldn't get in the end zone today, huh? No.
Well, he could. And just quarterback couldn't. That's insane. Caleb Williams and Brian Thomas is insane.
Like
okay.
Joe Holt should have
moving
more
on.
Than
Raiders
than Caleb Williams.
25, Saints 10. We were just talking about how Brock Bowers couldn't be found in the end zone. He was there, and Aiden O'Connell tried to throw it to him, or whoever their quarterback is this week.
Aiden O'Connell.
Tried to throw to him, and he just didn't.
The real story, it's a different runner who ran for over 100 yards for the Raiders.
Yes, Amir Abdullah this time.
What
around.
The fuck?
No Sincere McCormick. I think he was out. Yeah. I saw that you dropped him in fantasy.
That was Carson.
No, Carson did, sorry. I had seen that somebody did. I thought it was you. Spencer Rattler still sucks, in case anybody was wondering.
Hey, but Clyde's back.
Yes, Clyde is back.
I'm so happy about that.
I am very glad to see Clyde, especially in New Orleans. Being close to Baton Rouge is awesome. There's not much that really happened in this game that's noteworthy other than Amir Abdullah having 115 rushing yards out of nowhere. Brock Bowers, 7 receptions, 77 yards.
Saints ran like a really good flea flicker to
really?
Foster Moreau.
I didn't see it. Was it the touchdown?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they ran a flea flicker that drew Spencer Rattler all the way to the left over here, threw all the way back across the field to the right corner of the end zone.
Oh, damn.
For like 30 yards, but it was more like 50 yards to win.
Yeah,
we calculate.
Throw it across. Yeah. Damn. In this game, Brock Bowers with those 77 yards broke the rookie receiving year record for tight ends, something that Kyle Pitts couldn't do, I believe. When he was like super close.
I think Kyle Pitts was
third.
Was
it?
Yeah. They showed something where like Pitts was sitting like three.
Yeah. Here's that flea flicker.
So all the way to the left.
Yeah. That's pretty
and
awesome.
Then they throw all the way to the right.
It's pretty good. That's pretty good. Unfortunately, it was Spencer Rattler.
Spencer Rattler to Foster Moreau. When the fuck? Why are we hearing that in 2024?
Yeah. Raiders' defensive line looked great in this game as well against the Saints. The Saints are so banged up. Like, it almost doesn't even feel right to talk against them. Like, Kendre Miller out as soon as this game started. And they already were missing Kamara. No Carr. Like, it was bad. But, yeah, the Raiders' defense, pretty solid in this game. You had sacks for Spillane and Chase on, and then a bunch of half sacks.
I feel bad for Brian Brise.
Yeah, he's so good.
He's so good, but he's on a bad team, man.
Yeah, he is. That is pretty brutal. Okay, we're moving on, though.
Yeah.
Colts 33, Giants 45. Giants saw that Shedeur Sanders, how he played the other night in his Giants cleats and decided the first overall pick. Malik Nabers, unbelievable. Yeah, dropped all the way to the fourth pick, meaning they'll probably just take Cam Ward. if he's there.
Malik Nabers told him, hey, y'all sit out one more year. Me and Drew can hold it down.
Yeah.
And then go draft Garrett Nussmeier. Yeah.
And so in this game, Malik Nabers breaks 1,000 yards. So did Tyrone Tracy, rushing wise. That's insane.
Okay.
Tyrone Tracy breaking 1,000 yards is not all purpose, not rushing.
Grayson, he did the Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. No, I knew I was about to get fact checked. Colts suck. Flacco.
It's the classic Flacco game, the turnover. Turnovers.
Yes, the turnovers were there, and it was high yardage. It was a classic Flacco game, but very obvious that he has not been practicing as the starter.
No.
It's so obvious he is not on the same page as
guys. They've really been fucking up these quarterbacks the way they've been switching in and out this season.
Yeah. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor doesn't give a shit, though. 32 carries for JT. 125 and 2 touchdowns. Not necessarily an efficient day,
he got the job done. He was fucking exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. Crazy. And like, he only had a long of 26, so it's not like he, like, you know, broke off something crazy.
They ran the ball on 6 straight plays at one point.
That's insane.
And one of it was like a 26-yarder.
Yeah.
And they were running a hurry-up.
Yeah. Okay. Explain to me, Drew Lock, 5 carries, 0 yards, and a touchdown.
He kneeled 4 times.
Okay.
So the original stat was 2 carries, 4 yards.
Okay.
And a touchdown or something like that.
Yeah. And they kneeled at the end of the game. Gotcha. Yeah, the Giants just decided to show. They literally put their best game of the entire season when just to knock the Colts out of the playoffs.
Yeah. I just don't think they wanted the number one pick.
I don't know if you can say that.
It's cursed, man.
It is cursed. That is true.
They want number two. But yeah. What? Now they're sitting at like, what?
They're four. They're at four now.
Four's not a bad
one. No, four's not a bad spot. Unless... We don't need to get into draft order, but unless Cam Ward and Shador are going to be off the board, because like I don't know who the third best quarterback is.
I already
right
told
now.
You.
Beck?
No.
They're third? The Giants are third. Okay, so then they will get most likely Cam Ward, because obviously the Patriots aren't going to.
Listen.
Oh, the Titans are up there too? I don't know if they're going to take a quarterback.
No, listen.
They might go get Shador.
If I'm the Giants,
yeah,
I know you just cut ties with Daniel Jones. Don't get a quarterback yet.
Mm.
Give Locke one season. Build either get a very effective defensive player or another weapon to help out neighbors. Maybe.
But you just
build that O line because Evan Neal is fucking horrible.
If there is a fantastic offensive lineman, which I'm sure there is, I haven't really looked into it yet.
Get
if
that.
There's a really good offensive lineman in this class that's worth it up top, you do that. If there's a Joe Walt in this class, you do it. Drew Locke will be a free agent.
Or
they
hear
won't
me out.
Have a problem bringing him back though.
Hear me out. Go sign Jameis.
Yeah, you could. You don't have to draft a quarterback. Sam Darnold's going to be a free agent. If you want to put some money up and get a quarterback, Sam Darnold's out there. Kirk is out there. You're not going to have to pay Kirk much because he's still going to get paid by the Falcons. You could get yourself an actual quarterback just to bridge the gap, just to wait for Arch Manning to get into the draft, just to wait for some of these guys, Lenore Sellers, DJ Lagway down the road. Like those kinds of guys are looming. Just this is not the year. This year, to me, I like Cam Ward, and I think Shador could maybe be okay. This feels a lot like Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis.
I don't know. Malik said one of his favorite quarterbacks to play with.
Yeah. Justin Fields would be a free agent. That would be interesting as well. A lot of guys you could pick.
I would go to Malik Neighbors. And be like, who do you want throwing you the ball?
Malik Neighbors and Tyrone Tracy should be making the decisions right now. Let's be honest. They're the future of this team.
And I'm sorry, draft a tight end this year.
Yeah.
Daniel Bellinger is so bad.
Yeah. They're not picking up.
Zach Ertz.
No, draft a tight end. Draft Harold Fannin at the beginning of the second round.
Is he at Iowa?
No, Bowling Green.
Draft,
he's pretty much a wide receiver.
Well, we saw how that turned out with Atlanta.
Brock Bowers. No. Not a tight end. He's just white. Ladd McConkey's just white. Not a tight end.
Whoever's graduating from Iowa, just go pick him up.
That's true, yeah. I'm sure Iowa's got a guy, Penn State. All right,
next game. We don't have to talk about this
game. Cowboys 7, Eagles 41.
Oh, fuck.
Saquon 2000.
All right, next game.
Huge second half for him. Kenny Pickett got hurt in this game. Tanner McKee comes in. His first snap in a football game for like 2 years since he was at Stanford. Comes in, just kind of held shit down. Three for four, two touchdowns.
I was about to say, four passing attempts, two touchdowns.
And one of his incompletions was into the end zone.
That catch was sick.
Yeah. Saquon, 31 carries, 167.
Also, who's, was it, is that
Tyrion Davis Price. Sorry. Yeah.
They give up on Will Shipley already?
Yeah, they did give up on Will Shipley. Shout out LSU, though.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Cowboys had nothing from the jump. Started off, they threw a pick six early in this game. First points of the game.
Both of Cooper Rush's picks were to C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, C.J. Gardner-Johnson has just decided to like have an awakening these last 2 weeks because he had a good week last week, too.
That second pick was so bad. Yeah. Literally, there was three Eagles that could have caught the ball.
Yeah. Look, you know things have gone to shit when Trey Lance comes in the game.
Did you see that A.J. Brown chucked Tanner McKee's first ever NFL touchdown?
Yeah, and then he went and got it.
No, they sent that one dude who had like the controversy on the sideline.
Big Dom.
Yeah, Big Dom. They sent him to go get the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then A.J. Brown gave the guy his jersey.
Jersey off his back and signed it.
Pretty awesome.
That's
good dude.
I would assume there was nobody with a good game in the receiving game.
Devontae Smith.
Yeah, Devontae Smith had two long touchdowns from Kenny Pickett.
Almost had three.
Or one of them was from Kenny Pickett. One of them was from
almost had three. Got down at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, that. Oh yeah, that one. That's why I thought it was two.
That would have been a 50 yarder.
Yeah, yeah, crazy. Yeah, not really much else to say. Just Saquon needs 101 yards next week.
Also, Grant Calcaterra had a phenomenal catch.
Yeah, what?
Just one reception. Dallas Goedert, you might need to find a new team.
I don't know about that. I don't know about all that, but you know, we'll pump the brakes there. Jalen Tolbert scored a touchdown.
No, oh, yes.
Yeah, start with the Jalen counter. Jalen Tolbert. Ding.
Yeah. Jalen Brooks got ejected.
Yes. Yeah, Jalen Brooks got ejected. Okay, we got two different sides here. Ding. Yeah, next game. Panthers 14, Buccaneers 48. Lots of Jalen's in play here.
Jalen McMillan had a great game.
I know Jalen McMillan had a great game.
Jalen Coker did not.
Put another one up for the Jalen's. Jalen McMillan.
All right.
How many? Yeah. Five receptions, 51 yards, two tutties.
Now the left side.
That's three for Jalen McMillan.
Jalen Coker. Boom.
Doom. Two receptions, 35 yards for Jalen Coker. Any other Jalen's?
Gotta go to defense. Jalen. No, not Jacoby. Jalen. No, not Vita Vea. Jalen.
Nah, no Jalen's. No, not LeBron. We could do a LeBron counter if we want.
One.
Ding. All right, back to the offenses here. Bucky Irving, you are a god. Oh, but okay. If Bucky Irving did this all year, he's better than Saquon.
It's the Panthers. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Bucky Irving does this every week, though. He does.
Really?
Not the 1 week that I picked him for the parlay, but Bucky Irving's been insane. You can't take that away from him. All-purpose as well.
Grayson, if I'm not mistaken, pretty sure, you know, back when we were doing the draft, you weren't very, very fond of Bucky Irving to the NFL.
And I'll admit it.
Eat your words.
I will admit it. Also, I'm big into the I'm deep in Bucky Irving propaganda on social media. I see so much.
You I'm pretty sure you literally said like Bucky Irving might be one of the worst running backs out of this draft class.
There's no way.
We need to pull the clip.
I might have said that about like Audric Estime.
No, you.
I don't know about that.
You were praying on Bucky Irving's downfall.
I'm sure I wasn't a fan. Also, if I said it after the draft, it's because he's a Buccaneer.
I don't know. All I know is that I was wow.
Yeah, Bryce Young had a decent day. I'll give him that. Decent.
Listen,
what did you say earlier? He throws a bad ball a lot of times.
Yeah, he struggles to throw a spiral. Maybe because he has to jump when he throws just to get it over the offensive line, but it's just like.
Yeah, I don't know how we missed this part, but Baker had an insane game.
27 we didn't miss it.
359, five touchdowns.
Sitting right there in front of our faces.
Yeah, he didn't even throw any picks. Like, he wasn't forcing shit.
Yeah, he's just been doing this all year.
Yeah, it's just been throwing a lot of interceptions as well. He was not forcing anything this week. Oh, shit. He got it? Oh, that's not updated? Are we sure?
What, for 1,000 yards?
Yeah. Check the game log. It should have it all added up there.
I'll check Price Picks.
No, he's at 915, right? That was his first game. Yeah, so he's at 915. So Mike Evans needs 85 yards. To continue a streak all the way back to his first season playing at Texas A&M of 1,000 yards every season.
If he doesn't get it, we know why.
It's because Colin bet on him. He also missed multiple games. So that's also the problem. And yeah, because he got hurt in the game against Baltimore and then he missed like a month. Yeah.
All right, so here's what I need in the last weekend of the season.
Tyreek Hill needs a lot of touchdowns.
Tyreek Hill needs four touchdowns. Mike Evans needs like 300 receiving yards. Lamar Jackson just needs one rushing touchdown. That's it. Just one.
Okay.
Dalton Schultz needs two receiving touchdowns.
That's not happening.
It's not happening. It could.
It's not. So could Tyreek Hill four.
Honestly, yeah, it could. Yeah. All right, here's the easiest one that's going to hit. Will Levis, six touchdowns.
Yo, dude, money. Cash that one already. Go ahead and write it in. Spend that money. You'll make it back.
I remember I made this on draft night.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's brutal. Shout out Adam Thielen. 5 receptions, 110, 2 touchdowns.
Dude, Adam Thielen.
How is he still this good?
How is he move? Like, how is he getting by secondaries?
I don't know.
He is 34.
Damn near 40. 11th season in the league. Crazy. All right, let's move on. Titans 13, Jags 20. Let's make this one quick. I hate these two teams with a burning passion.
I like two players on combined both teams.
Yeah, BTJ.
BTJ, Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. I like that.
I'm not. Best choices. I'll say three. I like Tajay Spears.
Yeah.
He looks like a little bobblehead.
He does. Yeah, with the Guardian cap on, too. Yeah. Because he's already a pretty short guy.
Him and Devon Achane, bro. Devon Achane cracks me up every time.
I know I said he's pretty short. He's 5'11". To you guys, that's gargantuan. Sorry. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. he also got a concussion.
Yep. So Julius Chestnut came in the game.
That Guardian cap didn't do much. Or maybe he was relying on it too much. I don't know. He had a good game, 20 carries, 95 yards, but he also got concussed.
All right, next game.
BTJ touchdown, Parker Washington touchdown.
Nick Vandit touchdown.
Yeah, shout out to Nick Vandit.
No, that play was hilarious because all of Jacksonville's defenders were pointing to like, hey, I got this guy, I got this guy. No one pointed at him, and he just ran a crossing route to the left side. No defend. Every defender was on the right side.
Wow. Okay, I would like to just flag on the play on ESPN's profile for that guy. You can't put OSU as the college.
For who?
For Nick Vandit.
Yeah.
I'm sure he went to Oklahoma State. But you can't put OSU because Ohio State also exists.
Oregon State?
Oregon State as well. It could have been Oregon State. I think it's Oklahoma State, if I had to guess. Because that's the one that's probably most common.
Ohio State.
It's Ohio State. You can't just put OSU.
Just put Ohio State.
Bro. Yeah, that's not that many. That's 9 letters.
That's disregard. Like, you're disrespecting the fuck out of Ohio State just putting
OSU.
Why
is his nickname Baby Gronk? Did we just see that? Everybody at home, go to Nick Vandit's football reference page. Literally says his nickname is Baby Gronk.
I can see it.
He's 6'5", 257. It's up at the top, right under his name. Baby Gronk. That's crazy. He's played on fucking 7 or 8 teams in the NFL.
He got drafted in the third round?
Yeah. High pick. Wow. 2016 to the Seahawks. That's insane. Falcons game is about to start. What's up?
Mike said, I pray the Falcons don't falcon it up.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Falcons game's getting started. There's literally nothing to talk about with this game. Nick Vandit was the most interesting part of this.
My boy.
MPJ. Who? Not Michael Porter Jr., though. All right, Dolphins 20, Browns 3, into the 4 o'clock games. There's only two of them. Why did you
Nick
Vandit's Wikipedia?
No, hey, listen. We don't need box scores for this game. We can just talk about it.
Dolphins 20, Browns
3. The last two. Put the fucking game
I would
on.
Like the box score for Packers. You know what? I'll pull it up myself.
Yeah, I can tell you everything that happened.
I want to test him, but I also...
No, test me, bro. No, one thing. Nathan, take that shit off.
How many passing yards did DTR have?
DTR, like 134.
170. How bad is DTR?
Really bad.
Really? That was an over? 170?
Right. Fuck. Grayson's got it pulled up.
I've got Dolphins pulled up. Yeah, Tyler Huntley, pretty good game, honestly.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to be so focused on this. Okay. Tyler Huntley, 22 for 26, 225, 1 touchdown. He got sacked 4 times. Obviously, no Tua, no Waddle this week either. Tyreek Hill actually showed up, 9 receptions, 105. Jonnu Smith got himself a touchdown in this game. And Tyler Huntley had a rushing touchdown as well, 52 yards on the ground for Huntley. Way better day than Devon Achane, who had 25 yards on 10 carries. Obviously, the Browns couldn't run the ball at all. Donta Foreman was running the ball, 13 carries. Jerome Ford got hurt. He just went down weird. I remember watching that part. He just went down a little weird on his leg. But
Jerry Jeudy had a great day.
Yeah, Jeudy had a good day.
Oh,
12 receptions, 94 yards for him.
That?
Defensively, Browns also sacked the Dolphins 4 times. 2 of those coming from the one and only Myles Garrett. And Dolphins going to win and keep their playoff hopes alive.
Yeah.
Crazy enough with a win right there.
Shout out the Colts losing.
Yeah, the Colts losing was
Because if the Colts would have won, Dolphins would have been out.
Yep. Okay, we'll move on to the final game. Packers-Vikings. Packers, 25. Vikings, 27. Big win for the Vikings. They stay in contention, potentially, for a game next week, potentially, because Monday Night Football still needs to happen, where the Vikings and Lions will play for the winner of that division and potentially as well the number one seed in the NFC, which is huge. That's got to be a pass interference, right? Sure. Yeah. Something went wrong there.
Did Penny just lay the hit stick on that dude, bro? Yo, what the fuck?
Something went wrong there.
The fuck just happened, man?
I got to see this.
Hopefully that wasn't targeted to Kyle Pitts.
I don't think so. Oh, God, man. It's a bad start. I don't know what happened there. Yeah.
No, it just looks like they just weren't on the same page. Yeah. Looks like Penix expected
it
him
like
to
it
go
was
out.
A choice route, and he went to the inside, and Penix just threw to the outside. All right. Well, I.
Put Kirk back
can't
in,
get
bro.
Much worse.
Put Kirk back in.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Who's our third string? Nathan Peterman. Put him in.
No. I believe we activated Emory Jones off the practice squad. Shit. Number 11. Yeah, Emory Jones was given the number 11. So that right now, people might think that's an Emory Jones jersey. Yeah, that bothers the shit out of you. Hurry.
You talking about that quarterback from Florida?
Wait, that's not even Terry. Fuck, that was Zacchaeus. God damn it. Why are they throwing his keys?
Terry.
Terry. The Packers ran the ball really well in this game. In the red zone, at least. One touchdown for them, one touchdown for Josh Jacobs, one touchdown for Emmanuel Wilson. They brought it back extremely close with a 15-point fourth quarter. But Sam Darnold had a hell of a game. Pretty much all in the second and third quarter, the Vikings did all their business. They scored all 27 points in the second and third quarter. Darnold, 33 for 43, 377, three touchdowns. He did throw a pick. Aaron Jones, 12 carries, 47 on the ground. He also had four receptions for 30 yards in the air. Justin Jefferson, eight receptions, 92 yards. Jalen Naylor, five receptions, 81 yards, including a touchdown. Jordan Addison had himself a touchdown, which was insane timing. Colin literally, like, we sit down, like, he sits down after he gets here and goes, we need a Jordan Addison touchdown. And then he goes, like, what, 5 seconds later? He's like, Jordan Addison, Addison! And then he scored a touchdown. I'm like, what the hell is happening? It was insane. Yeah, Colin and Vikings players is just crazy.
Yeah, where my boy at?
Johnny Munt, one reception on one target for 7 yards. Are you wearing the shirt? Oh, he's wearing the shirt! Johnny Munt, Johnny Munt.
Before you continue, we got here, and Colin goes, damn, I forgot to wear the shirt. And I go,
oh, hell yeah.
I go, no way you forgot to wear the shirt. Like, it was the perfect shirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fuck the Commanders.
He goes, yeah, I forgot the shirt. And
I
then
broke my thumb. I punched my thumb.
Did you punch your other hand?
I punched my thumb.
Why did you tell me that you stupid. Forgot your shirt?
That was pretty stupid.
Was this just a long bit?
Can you even see that or the Coke bottles walking?
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
Munt. He's munting.
Everybody watch out. The Packers only passing The Packers only passing touchdown went to Malik Heath.
Dude, this shit's throbbing.
Pause. yeah, this is getting out of hand. Josh Jacobs lost a fumble in this game. And, oh my God.
Is that fucking James? No, that's Zachary. That would have hit.
I need Jaden Daniels to throw touchdowns.
That would have hit.
Anything else we need to talk? This was just a super close. Oh, Will Reichard missed two field goals. One of them from 57 hit the crossbar, and then the other one, I think, from like 43 later in the game. So that would have been, you know, a little bit more decisive. But yeah, this game, it turned extremely good. At one point, it just seemed like out of the Packers' reach, but they had a fantastic second half. And like I said, that 15-point fourth quarter was huge. But Vikings get the win, keep the number one seed hopes alive. All right, Falcons Commanders on the TV right now.
And, fucking Jameson Crowder.
I believe so. Reception from
my
Jameson
chair's
Crowder
doing the
right
thing
there
again.
It is. I think you maybe just moved around a little bit too much there. You're going to need to fix the chair. While you fix your chair, I'll talk about what's going on here. Yeah, Michael Penix already threw an interception. He had two completions, 2 for 4, 10 yards, threw an interception on what just looked like a blown choice route, miscommunication between him and I don't even know who it was targeted for. Chris Blair, I believe.
No, why is he in the starting?
That's a very good question. On the Commander's side, my thing just updated early. So, yeah. Touchdown, pass, Jaden Daniels to Olamide Zaccheaus.
Really?
Why has it got to be Zaccheaus? I loved him when he was a Falcon.
I need to check something.
Why does he have to be the one that's putting the nail in the coffin? Yeah, 3 touchdowns in 2 in 5 quarters. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Shout out Zaccheaus, but also fuck you. But shout out Jaden Daniels for getting me fantasy points.
Fuck, I didn't think.
We're going to win that ship, boys. We're going to win that ship. Maybe. As long as Jared Goff, George Kittle, and Amon-Ra St. Brown don't put up like 100 points. Yeah, not much has obviously happened. Quan Martin with the interception on Michael Penix. We'll see what happens. We'll obviously keep all updated because it will be on the TV for the rest of the show, except for maybe a little bit of college football. Okay, Monday Night Football. Colin, what's your prediction? Lions 49ers.
Lions 48. 49ers 13.
I thought you were going to do 48-49. okay. Yeah, if you want to hear my prediction, go to Friday's episode. Okay.
But
what?
Say it.
I don't remember what it was. I don't
want to contradict
myself.
Make a new one.
Okay. Lions 27, 49ers 10. There you go. MLB offseason news to talk about. And begins with the Diamondbacks picking up their third Corbin. Well, third Corbin in 2 years.
Corbin Carroll?
Yeah, there was a different Corbin as well that was there for like 5 seconds. Didn't overlap with Corbin Burns, though, in his in that year when Corbin Burns got pulled up at the end. But the only 3 Corbins that have played in the MLB, Corbin, have now all played for the Diamondbacks. Corbin Burns, 6 years, $210 million. The biggest thing is, what is Arizona going to do with all this pitching? Because you have Zach Gallen, you signed Jordan Montgomery last year, you still got Merrill Kelly, still got Brandon Pfaadt, and you have Eduardo Rodriguez, who you signed last year.
There's just no way they keep Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen, right? For more than a year.
So Gallen has, I think, 1 more year after this of control. In my eyes, you overpaid Jordan Montgomery for what you're going to get out of him, most likely. He's the one you sell. He is the one you trade off, if anything.
Well, he sat out and had an injury, right?
Yeah, he sat out.
I would hold on to
early
him.
Because he didn't sign until spring training.
I would hold on to him for 1 more season.
Yeah, but the thing is how can you give up Gallen? He's a year removed from Cy Young.
Don't give up Gallen. Give up that.
Yeah, but he's young, Eduardo. That's the thing. And it seems like Eduardo would be the one in my eyes who's like the odd one out here. Just doesn't really fit in and did not have a good year last year. But you still need a lefty. That's the issue. They keep running into issues where it just makes sense that Montgomery or Gallen should probably go. And you're paying the most for Montgomery, but you're definitely going to get the best value out of Gallen, for sure. So it's I think it's very tough to say.
I don't know. I feel like in their division, you have the Padres, you have the Dodgers,
yep,
and Giants. You have the Giants who may or may not be good this year.
Yeah, who knows? They're in conversations with some guys, and they got Adames.
We say this shit every year. We're like, oh, the Giants might compete this year.
I'm just saying. They're building something. I don't know if it's good.
You need to keep Gallen.
You need to have the best pitching you could possibly have if you're
in
the
NL. Well, he's
already
shown that he can carve up any team.
Exactly. I agree. I think you have to hold on to Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen. And if anything, at the end of this year, you need to extend Zach Gallen. You can't let him test free agency, or you're going to be the ones getting screwed.
No.
100%. I don't know who it's probably going to be or who it's going to be. I would probably say Jordan Montgomery, but I also just keep seeing people saying, like, it's Gallen or Montgomery. So we'll have to see. The other big move, Dodgers signed Teoscar Hernandez to a 3-year, $66 million deal. Very friendly. Yeah. Very friendly.
I think he just wants to keep winning.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. He's got a fourth year option for $15 million as well. Teoscar Hernandez is perfect for that lineup as well.
He probably heard the Blue Jays wanted to get him back.
Yeah.
So he was like, I'll stay for less money.
Exactly.
It's just like, don't send me back there.
Exactly. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention with Corbin Burns, the Giants and the Blue Jays offered him more money.
Oh, go. Good shit, Bijan.
Run, Bijan.
Mustard.
The Giants and Blue Jays offered him more money than the Diamondbacks, but because of the taxes, he's going to end up taking home way more playing in Arizona. At least, obviously, home game-wise, because of jock tax and stuff.
Shit's so annoying.
It is pretty annoying.
I remember we talked about that.
What, jock tax?
Yeah.
Yeah, in one of our... Yeah. Shout out Dr. DeMartini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Teoscar Hernandez. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Oh, I dropped it.
Get him off the field.
Get
him off the field.
Is it too late to cut somebody?
was that Chris Blair again?
No, it was...
Or was that...
Hodge.
Cadero Hodge.
Fuck. Come on, Cadero. You got to hold on to that. Oh. It was a hospital ball, but damn.
Lucas said...
What did he say? It's the wrong through as well.
Drake London, right now, please.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Teoscar Hernandez, fantastic pickup for the Dodgers. It makes sense to keep him.
Yeah.
Tigers signed Gleyber Torres to a 1-year $15 million deal.
This was weird.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, shout out Kyle Pitts having a good play.
Nathan, tell me how many yards that was.
So Gleyber gets a 1-year $15 million deal.
23.
He's gonna play second base. Colt Keith will move to first base. Which is kind of an odd move, I would say. I think that's weird for Colt Keith to go to first base.
Torkelson just going to DH.
He sucks at first.
Yeah, but he's tall.
Yeah, I know. But
Colt's not as tall.
Yeah, but Colt is way better glove.
Yeah.
But Gleyber will play second base. My biggest question is, does this take them out of the running for Bregman, or do they keep pursuing him to play third?
I
would still go after him. I think A.J. Hinch wants him. Obviously, he coached him back in the day with the Astros. But... Bregman's obviously not going back to Houston.
No.
That ship has sailed after you pick up Walker and Paredes. So he's not going back to Houston. Doesn't have a lot of options.
Yeah.
But he did say he'd be willing to play second base. So that opens the door. I still think the Tigers are the best fit for him. It just makes the most sense for him to go there, keep playing third base, and
just
play
keep,
for his former
just keep,
manager.
Just keep building that lineup, man.
Yeah.
You guys are getting somewhere.
It's getting there. The Cubs acquire Vidal Brujan from the Marlins in exchange for Matt Mervis.
I don't hate it.
Yeah, I think both of these moves, both these guys, former top 100 prospects. Vidal Brujan was a fantastic prospect coming up. And I think both of them, it's a utility infielder and a first baseman who go to these new respective teams and probably get at least a shot at playing a little bit. That's kind of all I see this move as. Kind of just my only question. There's no other big moves. What does the outfielder market look like now? Teoscar's off the board, so no more, you know, great corner outfield.
Yeah, Belly's
really
gone.
Really just Santander in the free agency-wise. Santander's the clear front runner.
How has he not gotten
I think side? He might be asking for a lot of money. He's an RBI guy. And those guys, what in the fuck is Penix doing right now?
I think
now?
That was just a throwaway pass. I don't think he saw anybody open. Because Drake was double covered.
Yeah. Just seemed like Drake was supposed to come back for that. I don't know. So Santander's
clearly the top one.
Oh, he wasn't
ready for the snap.
Profar is probably your next best. Oh, God. Well, at least he didn't fumble. Profar is probably your next best option, which is a pretty significant drop-off, and he's like 31 years old.
Yeah.
And then trade-wise, Luis Robert has been talked about as a trade target, and Seiya Suzuki.
He needs to get traded.
Yeah,
Luis
I agree.
Robert.
But it will take, you know, quite a bit. Let's go.
Oh.
What's the flag?
Roughing the kicker?
Better be. Give us another chance.
Nathan, why are you grinning at me?
Is he right?
Offsides.
Defense. That gives us a first down, right?
Yeah, that was fourth and four.
Let's go.
Nux.
Yes. Okay.
Fuck you, Dan Quinn. You're about to get your shit rocked.
One more question before we move on. So obviously offsides. One more question before we move on. Luis Robert, if he does get traded, who needs a center fielder like that right now? That's the tough thing.
Yeah, but he can easily...
He could play corner outfield for sure.
he would be a phenomenal right fielder.
I agree. I'm just saying, who's looking? Because the big teams right now, doesn't seem like anybody's really in on position players.
Tampa?
Tampa doesn't have the stuff to get Robert, I don't think. And they're not really in a position to win. I don't know if they're looking to trade.
Let's go,
Drake.
Go.
First.
Whoa.
We just face fucked that guy. What?
Nuts in his mouth, bro.
Oh, man, we're losing it. All right, we're moving on. I don't care where Luis Robert is getting traded to.
No, so when I text you about Glaber,
yeah,
this is Javier Baez. It has written
Glaber?
All over it.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it not?
I think that's pretty fair.
They're literally the same exact fucking person.
They're pretty similar. Pretty similar. That was hilarious. All right, let's see what happens here, and then we'll start talking about college football. Come on, Penix.
Oh, Dijon. Dijon.
Okay.
College football time.
Let's talk about the college football playoff quarterfinals. We're finally previewing them.
How do I keep doing
it? I don't know what that is.
It's like an anime thing for like, I love you.
Oh, all right. Weeb.
I'm talking.
It's a heart. Oh, I guess.
I don't know. I saw it in Squid Games. If y'all know what I'm talking about. Thanos.
Okay. Shout out K-pop.
I don't know if you know. In that Tokyo.
That's race. That's got to be.
No.
Is it?
What? No, I'm singing a song.
Yeah, Japanese and K-pop is different.
Sorry, that's just the first thing that popped in my head.
That's fair.
Oh!
All right, New Year's Eve. Number 6 seed Penn State against 11.5 point favorites against the number 3 seed Boise State. Boise State.
You had a good run.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun while it lasted. I love Ashton Jeanty. We will never see him play another.
Unless Ashton Jeanty can run for 400 yards and 6 touchdowns, you're not winning this game.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not.
Ashton Jeanty could run for 3 touchdowns and they'll lose by 21 points.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Maddox Mattson will not he will not complete over 15 passes.
Agreed. Penn State's defense is going to be
come on.
Unbelievably come on. Good in this game, if I had to guess.
Come on,
Penix.
P.I.?
Yes! Why does it always have to happen to Drake London? Why can't he just catch touchdowns?
And now we're going to get a Dijon Mustard touchdown.
Yep. Okay, so we got the pass interference. All right. So, Penn State, it's obviously, it's not a question of if they win. It's by how much. What are we thinking score-wise, Penn State? What did you say?
Fuck.
Nathan, while he's deciding, can you pull up Jinty's rushing line?
31-17.
I like that score a lot. I feel like Penn State might just run it up, though. They're going to run the ball really well
But then I think they're going to go up, and then they're going to get conservative.
That's fair.
And then that's when Jeanty will just start running. Jeanty will.
Oh. A direct snap to Bijan Robinson.
That was like, he didn't get touched.
No, that was amazing. Bijan Robinson is so good within like 3 yards.
Jeanty will have both touchdowns for Boise State.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
One receiving, one rushing.
Yeah, I think, and this is 129.5 is his line. I'd take the over on Jeanty, 129.5.
Oh, he's going to get it.
For sure. They're not going to come close to covering 11.5 points.
No.
That's not happening. If you're in a gambling state, that's my pick.
If I'm Penn State, I'm loading up the box. I'm just not going to let Jeanty beat me. If we lose, it's because we're going to make Maddox Mattson throw touchdowns.
If you do stack the box. But no, Penn State has a much better defense than all these random Mountain West teams.
Penn State's corners can easily run man-to-man with Boise State.
Yeah.
Boise State doesn't have the wide receivers. They don't have Nash?
Yeah. Defensively.
I said they don't have Nick Nash, who is one of the best wide receivers in all of college football.
Yes. Defensively, though, Boise State has no chance. That's my biggest thing. They're not going to be able to stop the run at all. Catron Allen, Nicholas Singleton are unbelievable. And then when you throw on top of it, can't even remember the fucking guy's name, the tight end. What is the tight end's name?
I don't know. I only know three players
Warren,
on Penn State.
Tyler Warren?
Yeah.
Is that right? Tyler Warren, the Penn State tight end. And for all it's worth, Drew Aller's not a bad quarterback.
He can complete
and against
a pass.
This defense with weapons he has, he's going to look great.
He's going to look like the greatest of all time.
Yeah, I think they're going to like really run. I'm going to go 42-21. That's what I'm thinking. 42-21.
Okay.
in the Fiesta Bowl in Phoenix. That'll be 7:30 New Year's Eve. The next three games, though, are on New Year's Day. You start off 1 o'clock, Peach Bowl in Atlanta, number 5 Texas. Their second game at the at Mercedes-Benz this season, the second game in like a month. 12.5-point favorites against the number 4 seed Arizona State Sun Devils, and really just Cam Scataboo.
You guys want to go?
I would. Yeah, oh, 1,740. Yeah, okay.
Sorry, I didn't ask for the price. I said I just asked if you guys wanted to go. Actually, I can't ask Nathan because I asked if he wanted to go to the Hawks Bucks and actually sit like 3 rows back from the court, and he said no.
Yeah, I know. Nathan doesn't go to sporting events. I'm aware. stop gulping. Number 5. Yeah, I don't know if that was. I think you're thrown up. Texas should beat the shit out of them, but I don't necessarily know that they will.
So here's how I think it's going to go.
Okay.
Texas is going to score. Arizona State's going to score.
What is this thing?
Texas is going to score again right before the half. Arizona State's going to kick a field goal. Oh, Cam Scataboo is going to he's gonna run like crazy. No.
Are you trying to do like a McConaughey thing?
He's going to look like Forrest Gump back when he had leg braces on. 31-21.
That's kind of close. I don't mind that. I like that score, 31-21, because I don't think Texas had. Gotcha. Gotcha. That's funny. but, yeah, I don't think Texas' offense is actually that great. They can run the ball extremely well. Contravian Wisner is amazing. But Arizona State can run the ball. I don't even care what Texas' defense has. They gave up plenty of rushing yards to Georgia. Obviously, Arizona State and Georgia have a different rushing attack. But if you're running back-wise, Cam Scataboo is going to have his way in this game. It's just about can Texas and Quinn Ewers specifically play up to the moment on offense.
Yeah.
Because they did so bad of playing up to the moment against Georgia.
Keep Arch off the field.
Yeah, don't pull that shit. Stop putting him in for one play every like quarter where he just runs
the ball. Let Quinn run this offense.
Yeah, let Quinn play the game. And defensively, just try and limit Cam Scataboo as much as you can.
Just keep him in front of you.
But it's much different to how you're going to have to game plan. Oh. Like, if you're playing Ginty, big difference between Ginty and Scataboo. Because Scataboo, arguably, you know, in that echelon of running back, doesn't have the numbers, but it's because he was playing higher quality opponents. Scataboo is just as talented, deserves as much attention, but there's an offense around him. There is other guys on this team that are pretty damn good.
Yeah, you have a power five offense.
Yeah, this is a pretty good team that should not be slept on. So I don't love Texas. I've been saying it for quite a while now. I don't love them. I don't think they've showed me a ton this season.
Get his ass. Oh,
oh, no, 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 no.
He's fine. He got up real quick.
He's up. Okay.
That looked a lot.
That looked really bad. That looked really bad.
JD.
Okay.
Bertrand. Beat y'all from Texas.
Yeah, we did score predictions on the last one. Yeah. I had 42-21 for Penn State, Boise State. What did you have for Penn State, Boise State? 31-17?
Yeah, 31-17. Dude, he folded like a taco.
He folded bad. I was very scared.
His back said,
3rd and 23 for the Commanders. Let's see what
5-yard pass to Zach Ertz would be nice.
Jaden Daniels immediately rolls out and throws to fucking Zaki. Throw to Terry McLaurin. God,
why does it take 8 of us? And we didn't even tackle him.
I don't know. Okay. Score predictions for the Peach Bowl.
I already gave you one.
What was yours?
31-21.
Oh, for this game for Texas Arizona State.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. 31-21. I'm going to go 31-28 Texas.
Mm.
I think it's going to be really close.
You trying to copy me, bro?
It's literally a different score.
Yeah, but yeah. 31, bro, it seems real.
Well, it's 4 touchdowns and a field goal. Okay, number 8 seed Ohio State, 2.5-point favorites against number 1 Oregon at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. I genuinely don't know how this game's going. I do not know. What do you think? Not score prediction. I'm just, you know, give me some preview.
Yeah. Scoring kind of open up with Jeremiah Smith. Because it always seems to fucking do that.
That's fair.
I don't think Oregon's going to be able to stop Henderson and Judkins.
Really? Okay. Because like they did pretty well stopping them in their first matchup.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do it again.
Okay.
I think so. Since that game, the wide receivers for Ohio State have gotten so much better.
Agreed. Agreed. And I think Will Howard is playing extremely
more
good
explosive
football
so
right now.
They're gonna be a little bit more focused on that because yeah. they last game they stopped the two running backs, yeah. so that's not their game plan.
Mm-hmm. I think also the conversation needs to be had, you know, before this happens, is that will we see that kind of the idea that we talk about in the MLB and even in the NFL, it hasn't really played out as much in the NFL, but the teams that get the bye not having the same kind of momentum in all that coming into this game. Oregon's been sitting around for 3 weeks waiting. Ohio State came off a huge victory.
You know, Dan Lanning's got...
Oh, I know he's got the boys going. I'm just saying.
They're going to be snorting that white shit before the game.
What? All right.
I didn't say any words.
I know. I'm just... It's pretty obvious.
Booger sugar.
Okay. Well, but yeah. I think Oregon will be fine. I just think, before we go into it, I think just be prepared. If that does happen. If Ohio State comes out hot and just looks really good, don't be surprised.
I think that Tennessee game got Ohio State going.
Yeah, I do too. Bless I think you. It got them, so, like, the whole nation was so low on Ohio State after that Michigan game. I don't know what is even happening. But
I said bless you to our fellow brother who sneezed all over your computer.
Cool.
No, you didn't.
I don't care. Ohio State was at, like, the lowest of lows losing to Michigan. They get this huge win over Tennessee, rewrite the script, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Now they go in, they play Oregon, a team that they only beat them because of poor clock management at the end of that game, really. But I don't know if they can do it.
The only thing that holds them back is their coach.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Dan Lanning is the better coach here 10 times out of 10. 10 times out of 10, Dan Lanning's the better coach than Ryan Day. That's where my thing lies. And I've watched Ohio State get coaching decisions wrong year after year after year. Last year, Hartline wasn't a good enough offensive coordinator. Make him the co-offensive coordinator. Bring in one of the best offensive minds in the sport and Chip Kelly. You still can't figure it out. Maybe it's not an offensive coordinator problem.
Maybe it's coach.
Yeah, maybe it's your head coach. I'm still taking Oregon. Ooh. I will go close again. Oh. I'm going to go 28-24 Oregon. A little bit lower scoring. Probably won't be the case, but I like that score for some reason.
I don't know. A lot of these games, it just seems like in playoffs and future playoffs or past playoffs,
yeah,
Ohio State puts up numbers. Doesn't matter matter who they're playing.
Yeah.
So I'm crazy one right here. 45-42, Ohio State, Oregon.
Okay. I don't mind that score.
We're gonna run it back to number Ohio State. And Georgia?
Yeah.
They missed the field goal. They're not missing this year.
Oh.
They're not missing.
Are we getting a little preview here from Colin? Is he saying Ohio State's win the natty over Georgia? Maybe.
I mainly just meant this game, they're not missing the field goal and they're going to win.
Okay. I would just, you said something about Ohio State, Georgia, and they could meet in the championship. That's all I'm saying. Stop gulping. I'm banning gulping from this podcast. Seven seed Notre Dame versus 2 seed Georgia. Georgia's a 1.5-point favorite in the Sugar Bowl. Gunnar Stockton getting the start. Carson Beck's going to the draft, which is crazy.
His girlfriend wants that money.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. UFL for sure. Him and DJ.
Nah, he's going to get drafted
on Fridays.
He's getting drafted by the Rams.
Probably. I know that Gunnar Stockton has not started a game in college football before. But tell me he's not good enough with these guys to beat Notre Dame.
Something about that South Georgia quarterback.
Rabun County is ass. They are ass. And he led them to a state championship. He was one of the best players probably the best player in the country, arguably, when he came out of high school, out of a single-A Division I football team in Georgia, a team that literally nobody gives a fuck about at a small-ass school in a small-ass area in Georgia. And he still differentiated himself. He still made people go to these games to watch him.
Yeah, you ever been down there?
No. I don't know if I've spent a second in Rabun County. I don't even know if it's south.
Actually, no, it might be north.
Very much north. As north as it gets, actually. Is it near Hiawassee? Right next to Hiawassee. Yeah, Hiawassee's right here. Raven County is up north.
Yeah, that's my bad.
Pretty well Tennessee, North Carolina, north is how far up he is. And that is a place I've also, like I said, not spent time in, unless I guess Tallulah Gorge kind of falls into that area. Whatever.
Missed a touchdown to Bijan.
Yeah, that's a tough one to stomach there. Oh. Yeah, I don't see a world where Notre Dame is the better team in this game. I know that Georgia has an inexperienced quarterback, but the defense is so much better than anything Notre Dame's probably seen this season. And the offense for Georgia, at least running-wise, is going to be the best running game that Notre Dame's going to see. And it was really just one explosive run from Jeremiah Love, and Indiana gave up. Yeah. That's it. Georgia's not going to let that happen.
I think there was just a lot of pressure on Indiana.
Yeah,
I agree. They had to perform, and it got to them.
And it was a game in the state of Indiana. Like
boring.
Yeah, everything about that game was stacked up against Indiana, for sure. This game, I think, is Georgia's game to lose. And they could. They very well could, because at times they have showed that they can't be the best. But a lot of times it's because Carson Beck was turning over the ball and he's not the problem this week.
I think they will, mainly not even because of that. I think it's because they always start every game so slow.
But when they don't, they look amazing.
But
that game against, like, I know the turnover and stuff, but like still scored points in the first half in that first game against Texas.
Yeah. Well, it's rare for them to play against a good team and not start slow.
Yes.
Like what we saw, against Bama.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So the biggest thing is like Notre Dame's defense can hold a lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they lose, it's mainly because they lose early and they can't fight back. Is that Ertz?
It is Ertz.
Holy shit. All my first quarters hit.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's go. Has Terry gotten any receptions?
No.
I just need 32.5.
AJ Terrell is probably going to play the best game he's ever played.
Of course. Of course.
And then when he's not, D. Alford will.
But did you guys see that dude on Speed and Kai's stream at Waffle House that looked a lot like AJ Terrell?
It wasn't?
I don't think it was. But they ran into him at a Waffle House, but it didn't look like AJ. Like, it kind of looked like AJ Terrell, but I don't think it was. I think it was a different guy that looked like him. But he was just in Waffle House, and he was wearing like Braves stuff. It kind of looked, you can look it up. It looked like AJ Terrell, but a lot of people were saying it was not him. It looked like AJ Terrell, but maybe a little bit on crack.
Why is he grinning like that?
I don't know.
Look at that.
So score predictions, Notre Dame, Georgia.
I think this one's going to be a low scoring game.
I agree.
I'm thinking like, I'm going like crazy, like super low, like 2013.
Okay. I'm going Georgia 24, Notre Dame 17. I think it'll be very close.
I'm taking ND, Notre Dame.
Really?
2013.
Wow. Okay. Fair enough.
Everyone's expecting, because they're like, oh, Georgia just makes it every year.
Yeah.
Every year. Not this year.
That's fair. No, okay. No. I've got Georgia 24-17. Colin's got Notre Dame 20-13. Correct? Okay. Okay.
No.
Let's do a little bit of bowl recap, a little bit of bowl talk. Bowl junk.
Before we do that, should we let Nathan? He counted it up, right?
Well, let's talk about the games that happened, and then we'll go through it. I want to start with these two games just because of how funny this is. So on Tuesday, Christmas Eve.
I was like, what?
On Christmas Eve, USF 41, San Jose State 39. 5 overtimes, the most overtimes in a bowl game ever.
Jeez.
Thursday comes around, the 26th. Pitt 46, Toledo 48, 6 overtimes. No longer is USF San Jose State the most overtimes in a bowl game. Pitt and Toledo take it away 2 days later. Hilarious. Also, Pitt losing, pretty good pattern to follow for the ACC. They're 1-9 to this point in bowl games. 0-10 against the spread, in case anybody's wondering.
I'm trying to remember what their one win was.
Syracuse.
That's right.
Over Washington State.
Kyle McCord's that dog.
And Washington State doesn't even have their quarterback.
Did you watch that game?
He's leaving. No, but I saw that Kyle McCord went crazy. Five touchdowns.
He was just throwing.
Yeah, he's been doing that all year. People just did not care.
I think he really found his own at Syracuse.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay, and I think he'll have another good year next year, and he'll go to the draft. I think that's what it's going to
be. Might actually find his way on an NFL roster.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll be a starter, but he could be like a fourth-round pick.
could remind me a lot of AJ McCarron.
Maybe. Maybe. That would be interesting. I've been seeing a lot of AJ McCarron.
It's been on my TikTok. Like Birmingham Bisons or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. I saw him on Barons. A podcast, and I kept seeing clips from that podcast. I can't remember the name of that podcast, but I love it.
Talk to him.
No, it's two guys' names, and one of them is Siski, and he used to be a coach for like a bunch of different SEC teams.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't.
I'm not a big podcast guy. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy to talk about. We're sitting right here recording a podcast.
Yeah, it's fine. What just happened? McGreedy and Siski. Great podcast. I see the clips all the time on TikTok.
That was so clutch.
They've got good-ass stories.
Zach Ertz got that catch to end the first quarter.
Wow. That is crazy.
I'm going
to snap to Brian Robinson and faked the handoff to Jaden Daniels' 8-yard run. That was crazy. Okay. We had a big one. Georgia Tech 27, Vandy 35. This was really, let's call it what it was. This was Vandy 35-13.
Yeah.
10 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, Vandy kind of stopped trying. This was the SEC difference.
Georgia right Tech just had to lose with some respect.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, Pavia looked awesome. Georgia Tech was fine. I don't think they were really trying that hard. They started they played the starters that were going to stay and whatever.
Well, it was questionable that Haynes King was even going to play.
Yeah, and he did. And so did Jamal Haynes. Both of them played, which is great. They're fine.
Not their best.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Georgia Tech played, the players played fine. The team did not.
The defense.
Yeah, the defense was horrible. And then we had the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Did you see the mascot?
I love all the theatrics of the Pop-Tart Bowl are hilarious. Like they had the old mascot up on the jumbotron, the one from last year with like all the ripped off frosting and everything. But yeah, Iowa State 42, Miami 41. This game was awesome until about like 9 minutes in the second quarter. That's when it all slowed down. I'm pretty sure, Nathan, you could correct me here if I'm wrong. They went touchdown, 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 touchdown. There was just 8 straight touchdowns, I'm pretty sure, in this game. It was just 8 straight drives for touchdowns.
Shout out Terry.
Do we have the scoring summary or whatever? Or the play-by-play, I guess, would probably be better. Yeah. Well, yeah, they had one field goal at the end of the half. But yeah, it was literally just touchdown after touchdown. Yeah, but I think it was the first 8 drives were just touchdowns. It was unreal. And in the midst of all that, Cam Ward broke Case Keenum's all-time D1 passing touchdown record, which was awesome. Cam Ward also had a couple very funny moments where, they were, he was throwing on, the 5-yard line and, gets the snap and is, looking around the pocket, sees that he's got his guy in the flat and just stands there and just goes. Yeah, it was a horrible throw because he was standing flat-footed. But, yeah, this game was pretty awesome. Cam Ward got pulled for the second half. That's why Iowa State came back and got the win. But this was still a fun game. I kind of saw it coming, but 42-41 out of a game like that was pretty fun. We also had the Alamo Bowl. Shador and Travis Hunter, what are we doing, man? What are we doing out here?
Heisman my ass.
I
got cooked.
I want to give
game,
some,
brother. Sit down.
I want to give some credit to both coaches here just for playing the starters. I respect the shit out of that. Just playing the starters. Shador wore Giants cleats, then played like shit. Giants played their way out of the first pick. Coincidence? I think not.
You know why I think they play the starters? Because it was a Big 12 matchup.
Yeah, that's fair. And also, ESPN is so... They're so lame. Why do they just... why is Zacchaeus having a career day? What are we doing?
New wide receiver 1. Fuck Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, ESPN gave BYU zero love with this game. At all. Even though they stomped Colorado. This was, once again, let's be honest, 36-7. That late touchdown for Travis Hunter was bullshit. And he, ESPN just only covered that fucking touchdown at the end of the game. So stupid. I hated this game because how much they favored how much they favored Colorado.
They always do, bro.
And I'm just so happy for this sport that Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter are out. I like them. I like both of them. as players. They're fun to watch. But I'm tired of the coverage of them. Yeah. It's just annoying at this point.
Okay, good. I thought they were going to call roving the mean.
Yeah. Holding on Biotish. All right, yeah. That's all I really had to say about the Alamo Bowl. They just annoy the shit out of me.
I said this to Colin while we were sitting talking about this game earlier today. Colorado, with their, you know, amazing transfer portal, why don't they get a fucking running back?
They will never do it.
Look at the box score, if you still have it pulled up.
I don't.
I'll tell you. As a team, they rushed for 2 yards.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. BYU had more on their shortest rush of the game, or like their first rush of the game was 6 yards. They got more yards than Colorado had.
Deion doesn't believe in running backs.
Yeah, let's go! Let's go. Take it back.
Oh, wait. Let's go. That hit. I took Jaden Daniels for a pick.
Oh, you did?
Damn. Are we cooking right now?
Colin is cooking.
Shadur had negative 34 rushing
yards. That's off sacks.
Caden Ellis, bro.
Yeah, but on 9 carries.
I know. I'm just saying.
Yo, chat, are we cooking right now?
Might be cooking. Caden Ellis is a fucking dog.
At some point, you have to get rid of the ball, though.
What?
If you're Shadur.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I've seen everyone on Twitter talking about is like...
Find a new position.
If you're going to be a quarterback who's going to scramble backwards and try to make something happen, you have to know when to just throw the ball away and be done. You can't just take a sack and get to negative 34 rushing yards. Like,
yeah.
I got an idea. Stop playing football.
So
BYU only had 4
next
sacks.
Year, they'll have Caden Salter at quarterback, and Julian Lewis will be there as a true freshman.
It's going to be a QB battle.
I think there's a genuine QB battle. But that's why they're not going after running backs. It bothers the shit out of me that they're not going after running backs. Yeah, you have no running game. I think if they were smart, they would literally give Mekhi Hughes $10 million. Yeah, 384 yards for their leading rusher. Mekhi Hughes announced that he's entering the portal the other day out of Tulane. Literally unload their Brinks truck for him. If you're Colorado. Because Caden Salter, if he is your starting quarterback, you need a fucking running.
With how much money is available in NIL deals and everything like that, get him a house. Get him a car.
Exactly. Make him literally do whatever it takes to get him because he is one of the best running backs that's going to hit the portal.
There's like...
Shadur had negative 50 rushing yards in the season, which is pretty much all sacks.
It's just like, so, like you remember Haley Van Lith?
Yeah.
The reason when she went to TCU? They got her everything she wanted.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it is right now in college sports.
Range Rover, house.
Yeah.
Got her parents a car.
Yeah, no, it sucks that this is what college sports has come to.
I hate it. I hate NIL deal.
But we got to embrace it. Yeah. As much as it does suck and it has affected all the sports negatively, we got to embrace it. And I don't know if Colorado is doing it the correct way.
No.
Next thing, final game, to recap at least. Got Eastern Carolina 26, NC State 21. I don't care about the game. The ACC lost, whatever. Big brawl in this game. Second half, I think, leads to a ref getting hit in the face and like was just bleeding out of his face.
Did he keep ref in the game?
I think he did.
I think
he did keep ref. So shout out to him.
That's a hell yeah moment.
It looked like
he
was probably going to break something up and somebody got pushed. I think a helmet scratched his face, but it looked bad.
That's a hell yeah moment.
Yeah, hell yeah. Shout out that ref. We got some games this week. I'll quickly just say what games they are, what day. New Year's Eve, big slate. You got ReliaQuest Bowl, Bama versus Michigan. You got Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl, Louisville versus Washington.
I like Cheez-It that game.
Citrus Bowl, South Carolina versus Illinois.
I think that will actually be
it might actually
a phenomenal game.
And then Kinders? I don't know how you're Kinders. Supposed to say that. Kinders? Texas Bowl, Baylor versus LSU. That one's going to suck.
Why is Algier running the bowl? Stop.
And then on the second, the last like notable bowl game. On the second, you got the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, Duke versus Ole Miss.
I'm sorry, Brock. Give me Duke. How many people are sitting
out?
Ole Miss?
Who's sitting out for Ole Miss?
Is Uncle Jack sitting?
Uncle Jack's, yeah. Did you see the video of that kid getting the Jackson Dart jersey for Christmas? Oh, it's so good, dude. I loved that video. Okay, Nathan, give us the update on the bowl picks.
All right, folks.
Do not.
We're through 28 bowl games so far.
Stop.
Out of the 37 or 36 that we are doing.
Yeah.
Put Bijan back in.
As of right now, remember again, for the people listening at home, if you don't know, we made a Google sheet or forms of all the bowl games and let Colin, Grayson, Luke, and my girlfriend Megan answer to see who would win and just predict their winners.
Yep.
Through 28 games, right now in the lead with 13 correct is Grayson.
Let's go.
Could have told you that.
No ball.
Followed closely behind by a tie between Luke and Megan.
Nice.
Colin.
Colin is bringing it up with 11 right now.
Two behind.
That's really close.
Yes, we do have nine games left. 2 points separate the leader.
Oh,
that's like three that he's missed Kadarrell Hodge on.
2 points separate the leader from last place.
Okay.
We already know that the tiebreaker goes to Grayson.
Yep.
So we have that. I can't wait to see what happens. I'm very excited.
I am excited as well.
I did not think it was all going to be this close.
No.
I don't know how Luke picked. I know Megan picked based on who had the cooler logo that I showed her.
Fair.
So I guess we'll see in however long.
To be fair, I made mine like 10 seconds after you sent out the thing.
Grayson made it right before the first game started. Grayson was the last.
But I didn't look at any information about him.
Yeah.
So.
And we will we'll update you guys in a couple weeks.
Penix, bang, Drake London, first down. Okay. That's all. But I think 2 weeks ago on the podcast, Luke got his gift from Mike.
Oh, shit.
This past week, or just the other day, Nathan opened his gift from Mike. He's wearing it right now.
Nice.
And I got a gift. It doesn't fit. It's the same thing as Nathan. Oh. But Colin got a gift from Mike as well.
Oh, now, shit. I'm going to
leave the package down like this because my address is still on it. I'm going to just kind of open it here for you. Please do not pick it up and show the bottom to the camera. Thank you. So I'll help you open it from this side. Oh! So the Auburn fan bought you an Deluxe Alabama blanket.
Plush wearable throw.
It's wearable? Well, open it up. Put it on.
So backstory, for anyone who doesn't know Mike is a huge Auburn Tiger fan. And when me, Colin, and Mike used to work together, as well as Grayson, Mike would always talk shit. No matter the situation,
yes.
Mike's talking shit about Alabama. That's who he is, and we love Mike for that.
Yes.
It's an amazing quality of his. Mike said that he was worried that his bank was going to call him and ask him if this was a fraudulent purchase. When I asked him what he got Colin, he said, just know I thought my bank was going to call me.
That is
sick. And I said, oh no, you bought an Alabama thing. He said, it took me so much.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's like a hoodie.
It's a hoodie. Like that is amazing.
Did you just break it?
This thing is sick.
It's like a soft parka. Keep going.
Mike, did they not have a Florida State version of this?
I'd rather have the hoodie. This hoodie is sick.
Bro.
I know how Colin's
no
driving
sleeves,
to work
right?
every morning.
There's no sleeves?
It's a parka. You just put your arms out.
Yeah. It's got a hoodie pocket.
We talk about Colin falling asleep on the couch.
That's the armhole. That's why there's that little part. Maybe. Well, that I think that's what popped. So maybe. Oh, it has a little snap. We can fix it later. What? Yeah, get in frame. Oh, sit down.
You got to get away from the red jersey for a second.
Oh, yeah, that is
so that they can really see it.
It's kinda, what do we think?
How snuggly is it?
Oh, yeah. Feels nice. No, I'm fine. I'm good.
Mike.
Get to the mic.
Yeah, say to the mic.
Mike.
I appreciate that, bro. I really do.
You're not saying it in the mic.
I appreciate that. It means a lot.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you to Mike. That was a fantastic gift. Oh, Michael Penix.
Oh.
And he throws it over Kadarrell Hodge. What a surprise.
Yeah. Throw that
rough
shit.
Rough in the passer?
First down.
Was it rough in the passer?
I think that was just a hit on Kadarrell Hodge.
I don't know. I didn't see the flag actually on the field over there. I thought.
He never made contact with the ball.
Let's see. Oh. I think it's rough in the passer. I think it was high.
Oh, yeah.
Rough in the head. Rough in the passer. Awesome.
Immediately.
I'll take it. Okay.
Dude, this shit's comfortable. So fucking comfortable.
We're going to see if the playoff hopes stay alive for the Falcons. And also, I guess, technically the Commanders. I don't know if they've actually clinched yet. They haven't clinched the playoff spot yet. So they're also trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. Rookie quarterback battle, 7-7 in the second quarter right now.
Because I think if the Falcons win this game and went out and the Bucs went out, the Commanders are out.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I think you're right. Okay. A lot of stuff that we're going to be watching after this episode's over, but make sure you guys are subscribed here on YouTube. What? I'm doing the promo, and then I'll get to it. Okay. Don't worry. I just want to make sure everybody knows they need to subscribe before we get to that.
Bijan.
Great run by Bijan Robinson. Okay. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You turn on the post notifications. We got the College Football Show, the final one of the year, the College Football Playoff Special, coming out on Tuesday. So make sure you subscribe with the post notifications on so you know exactly when that goes up. Then, like this video. Comment something. Comment your predictions for the College Football Playoff quarterfinal games. And, of course, follow us on Instagram. Stay up to date with everything we've got going on. Join the Second Short subreddit, r/2ndandshort. And make sure that on the podcast platforms, I knew I was missing something, that you, on the podcast platforms, you rate 5 stars, you give us a follow on there. Colin, let's see what Bijan Robinson does. Go, Bijan, reset, bang!
Go, Bijan.
You know how bad Kirk wants to play in this game?
Sure.
Playing for Washington.
Yeah, that's true. Against his old team, his first team. Okay, Colin, you got a fun fact for us.
I do.
To lead us into the new year.
And you guys might know this already, you know, being such excellent chefs and cooks.
Okay.
The 100 folds in a chef hat, you know what it means?
No, I don't.
Represents 100 different ways to cook an egg.
That's for real?
Yeah.
Cool. Shout out Ratatouille.
That's insane.
Is that why hibachi restaurants, they toss the egg up there?
Oh. Okay. Expanding upon the fun
facts. Maybe there's some symbolism. Or they're just trying to make the egg disappear.
Oh, wait. What are we talking about here? Yeah, I think he pulled
the ball.
They're
saying the ball never crossed?
I think he pulled the ball in. He never stepped out.
Well, he did with his foot that went in.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I don't know if he's
That's
in.
A weird one.
It is a weird one, yeah.
Since we're heading into the new year, why not have another one?
Yeah.
I like it.
The longest wedding veil was longer than 63 football fields.
Why?
What the fuck?
Why? What's the point?
No.
That's...
How many people held that or, like, carried
it? A woman in Cyprus.
That's the whole country.
Yeah. Oh, much bigger than the country.
Nearly 23,000 feet.
Yeah, that's much bigger than the length of Cyprus, if I had to guess.
Wait, did you say 23,000 feet? That's multiple miles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot.
Same length as about 63.5 football fields.
Did he stretch that across? I think he did. Tell me he stretched that across.
Who was it? Penix? Like it.
Yeah. I could have sworn he got the kind of hit the...
Let's get out of here.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Okay, guys. We're going to catch you guys next year. I think you got it right there. We're going to catch you guys next year, unless you check out the College Football Show on New Year's Eve, which you definitely should. And then, in that case, you'll see me. Oh, no, he didn't get it. We will see Colin next year. By next year, I mean next Monday. To recap the NFL. The whole NFL regular season will have come to a conclusion by the time Colin is... Well, yeah. No, there's a Monday Night Football game, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
Touchdown. Another one where he just doesn't get touched.
Touchdown, Bijan Robinson. Now it's... Falcons lead. Okay. Yeah, not wrong, just early. Okay. We'll also see Nathan next year as well. And by next year, I mean on Friday's episode with Luke. Nathan just told Colin he has to walk home. We're going to see you guys later. Please enjoy the weekend or enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy your New Year's. Please be safe. If you're going to drink responsibly. Do not drive. Everybody out there, enjoy your New Year. This was a fantastic year. Thank you for listening to Second and Short in 2024. We look forward to seeing you in 2025. Catch you guys later. Peace.